Welcome to episode 499 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna and George. So when someone mentions Milan, what do you think about? Fashion? History? Food? Well, Milan has all of these in spades. It's so much more than just those things. And Donna is here to tell us all about her short trip to Milan. So let's get started. So why did you just take a short trip to Milan, Donna?
Well, so I was doing a tour of Switzerland, and I actually had to be in Amsterdam, like, 2 or 3 days later, and so I decided to just hang out in Milan for a couple of days rather than going back to Amsterdam, because I've been to Amsterdam quite a few times, and I'd never been to Milan, so it was one of the few pieces of Italy that was left on my list, so I decided to hang out there, and plus my son, I had to put him on an airplane at the Milan airport, so.
So it all just made sense.
It did make sense, and oh darn, I had to go, like, eat really good food and see really cool stuff. And yeah.
So we should remind our listeners that you have a background in art appreciation too.
I do. I had a minor in art history and all. So
what, does Milan have a lot of art? I think of like National Lampoon's Vacation. Isn't that where they went to shop that when they lost all their?
No, that was Rome.
Oh, was it Rome? Okay.
That was the Corso in Rome. But it is. I mean, it's a fashion capital. That's where they have Fashion Week and everything, and all the big designers have fashion houses and all in Milan. They do have a fashion schools that people actually go to Milan to learn in the fashion industry. So it's a very unique Italian city because it doesn't follow a bunch of the rules of other Italian cities.
Like what rules?
So this is the funny thing. So one of the things I love doing is going to farmers markets. Okay. In European cities. So I like to go see the vegetables and buy the cheese and the sausages and the things like that from European farmers markets. And so I even asked, I had a private tour guide, and I'm like, it's Saturday, where was the farmers market? And then she's like, oh, we don't have those here. We're a little too sophisticated for that.
Oh. So, like, we are not mere farmers here.
Exactly. We don't do that kind of thing. We get our vegetables from the grocery store. I'm like, okay.
Interesting.
Yes. So, because I fully expected, because I got there on a Saturday, and I fully expected to basically get to the Duomo, because it's a huge square, mm-hmm. to have, you know, little vendors and painters and things like that. The only thing I did find, actually, and this is something they do on Saturdays, is they have, and of course it was pouring down rain that day, so that would have been in the square, but they basically had put it under one of the porticos. They had some tables, and they were selling used books.
Okay.
So they had a little book market, and so all these tables with all these used books that were little markdowns. So that's about all they had. So,
well, and this was also in March, right? So could it have been that it was off season? Would they do more in the
summer? Well, no, because that's why I asked my guide. I says, mm-hmm. okay, so where was this? And she says, we just don't do that. So
interesting. Okay. Well, that's good to know. So, so what did you do in Milan then?
I got there on Sunday. So I went to the Duomo on Sunday, and it just so happened they were having Sunday services. Of course, there were some very rude tourists that were, like, taking pictures and things like that of the service. And I've always been taught you don't do that. I mean, this is a church service. I mean, you just don't do that. However, the choir was singing, and it was a men and boys choir, and so they were just echoing off of all the walls. It was truly a lovely experience. And I would highly recommend, if you're there on a Sunday, to stop by the Duomo and be there for a Sunday service. Of course, it's all in Latin or Italian.
I'm Catholic. So, I can do Latin.
So you're not going to understand what they're saying. I mean, you'll hear a word every once in a while here and there. But it's just beautiful. With all the singing and everything, it was kind of magical. And then you're in this huge building with these gorgeous stained glass windows. The only problem is that when you do go on a Sunday, they've got areas closed off and you can't get back to the behind in the apse, mm-hmm. to the back of the nave, because that's where the people are coming in and out and everything. It's for the service itself. And so they've got that closed off and you can't actually get back there. However, I did go back on Monday and actually was able to get into some of those areas.
Did you go back on a tour or did you just go in and like...
Well, on Sunday, I went in just me because I was like, okay, I'm here. I had some time to kill because I couldn't get in my hotel room yet. I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go in there and sit down and enjoy looking around and taking it all in. And they do also have, you know, giant pipe organs. And so they had the pipe organ music and the choir, and it was very magical. So.
Yeah.
So I kind of went on my own and just wandered, and then I actually left there and went over to the Galleria Vittorio Emanuele Due. And it's a glassed-in shopping area. Of course, I couldn't afford any of the stores that were in there because it was all, you know, Dior and Gucci and, you know,
nice.
Dolce and Gabbana. So you look with your eyes, not with your tight hands.
You don't go in and try everything on?
No. And there's a little restaurants and everything, but of course, you know, the waits and everything. So I found a little restaurant about a half a block down a side street from the Duomo, and I sat down and had tagliatelle. It's funny because I had just watched a series on PBS, and they were talking about how they made the tagliatelle in that area of Milan. And I'm like, okay, this is what I got to have. And yeah, it was
nice.
It was so good and so warm because it was wet outside and I had my hot chocolate because it was so, yeah, it was a great lunch.
So where did you stay?
I stayed at, it was called the Estate, the Square Hotel. And it's not my typical hotel, and actually, I would not have picked it. I mean, it was perfectly fine. It was beautiful. It was fantastic. It was a great location, but it was a little too modern for me.
Oh,
it was. I like hotels with character, usually historical hotels or historic B&Bs and things like that. So it wasn't my style, but it was a great location. It was perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. It just wasn't my cup of tea.
Okay. But were you close to it sounds like you were walking a lot. Were you?
Yes. Able to walk every, there are some trams, that run. But yes, you do actually walk. And then I didn't quite know where I was and I was getting lost in Google. Google was not helping me and not finding me.
Oh.
So I decided to take an Uber back to the hotel.
Nice. That's so cool. All right. So what's the Starbucks Reserve Roastery?
You have to understand, Starbucks is not where the locals go to drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Especially in Italy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, especially in Italy. However, I had actually heard about this particular shop, and so I decided I didn't actually go in and buy anything, but I wanted to check it out because I just happened to walk right past it. It's in an old bank building, so marble floors, a huge atrium, everything, and that's where they actually roast the coffee beans. So they have a roastery, and you can watch as they do the process to get them to prepare them, and then they actually go and make your coffee from the beans that they roasted right there on site.
So So is it the Verona one?
I don't know. I don't know because they had it running, Starbucks coffees. But the thing is that it is one of their premier locations. Mm-hmm. There is not anything, as far as I know, there's not anything like it in the United States. Don't quote me on that one, but mm-hmm. I had actually heard about this particular place because they had to make it extra special because they wanted Europeans to come, even though I didn't see a single European actually in the place. It was all Americans.
Well, sometimes people just want what they know, you know?
They do, yeah, they do. Yeah. And it's very steampunk.
Oh, cool. Okay.
In design. So it's definitely something I would definitely, you know, pop your head in to go see, especially mm-hmm. if you're a big Starbucks fan. But I'm not a big Starbucks fan as far as their coffee. So it didn't, I was going there to see the space, not necessarily to drink the coffee.
But it was full of Americans.
It was full of Americans, yes. And it's a big one too. I mean, this place was, you know, probably 10,000 square feet.
Wow.
I mean, it was a huge location, so. And they've got outdoor seating. Of course, nobody was sitting outside because it was raining, but.
Sounds like you picked a really good weekend to go there.
I did. It's funny because, you know, it really wasn't that crowded. March is a good time of year to hit because it's definitely shoulder season for Italy. So if you're thinking about doing something in Italy, March or even October is a fantastic time to go.
So talk a little more about the food, because I bet you the food was really good.
So this
I'm looking at the list of what you ate, and I'm like,
So this was a walking food tour. Oh, it was almost like a progressive dinner. And uh-huh. so there was a guide that basically we met actually at the oldest ruins in Milan. They were actually Roman columns that was at one time a temple. That had not, and the only thing left were the Doric or the columns. I don't know if they were Doric or Ionic, Ionic. Mm-hmm. But they had these giant columns, and it was the last remnants of the Roman Empire. Now, sitting in front of it was a church, actually, that was built in the 1500s. So it was a very it actually resembled the Duomo in Florence, very similar in that respect. And I went in and actually popped my head in because, again, it was Sunday night, so they were having Sunday mm-hmm. services, and I wanted to see the inside. I did not take pictures because, you know, that's rude during a service. But we met actually out in the front, and it was, like I said, a progressive dinner. So we went and had Mondegli. And what it is they're these little meatballs, and they're fried. They don't really have a coating on them, and you dip them in a little bit of sauce. I don't know, honestly, what kind of sauce. And they started out with a glass of champagne. So we had champagne. Well, it wasn't champagne because, you know, that's from the Champagne region of France. This was a Prosecco wannabe.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's not Prosecco. It was made in Italy, in that area of the country. And so we started out and we had this little appetizer, and then we went to we walked past this other church, and she showed us how the water fountains worked. It was very interesting. So the thing about Italy is they have fountains all over Rome and all over the country and all over everywhere. And that's where people used to get their water from. The water is very clean. So you can still, you know, go and fill your water bottles from these fountains.
No. Don't tell people that.
I do that all the time. Yes.
What? You mean drinking fountains?
In Switzerland. No, these are fountains, not
the
water
fountains.
Fountains
out in the Trevi Fountain, like those kinds of fountains? That birds are pooping and peeing in it?
You don't drink out of this. You basically, when it's coming out of the spigot.
Okay.
Not the water that's sitting in the Trevi Fountain. But yes,
I feel like I need to research that a little.
But yes, you can fill your water bottles and everything from the fountain spigots. Okay. And so there was this spigot, but it has a hole in it. So if you don't have a container to fill your water, you can put your finger over the spigot or over this little hole, and it'll shoot water. So you can almost do it like a water fountain. It shoots the water like 5 or 6 feet.
So you could shoot people.
Yeah. Don't tell. Stand right there.
Smile. Yeah. We're going to take a picture.
Yeah. So then we went to this other restaurant, and that's where we had, I had some red wine and some risotto. And this is, it's called Risotto a la Milanese. So the story goes is that they were using saffron to color their paints back, you know, in, we're talking like 13, 14, 1500s. And this guy comes up and he's like, you know, I wonder if I can, you know, use this in my risotto. And so he did, he made it in his risotto, and that's actually how they make, it's a saffron. So the risotto is bright yellow and it's made with Parmesan, and it's one of those things that on a cold day, like it was, definitely sticks to your ribs.
Sounds awesome.
It really is. Yeah. And I've had it a couple times since, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is authentic. I know it is because I just had this like a month ago. So
I have to look for it. Yeah.
And cool. Then they also had a pasta, and it was with their red sauce, like a bolognese sauce. But this is a very interesting pasta. So it's not quite as wide as a lasagna noodle, and it doesn't have the frilled edges. But it's served basically, you kind of fold it over into thirds, and they cut it into pieces, and then that's what they cook. They cook it and actually put it with the sauce, and that was our second plate.
Cool.
And then we went to a third restaurant and had more wine. Oh, darn.
Nice.
More red wine. With prosciutto and cheese and basically almost like a charcuterie board. And so everybody got one and got some preserves and things like that. And then we sat around, and the owner, this is the cool thing. So the owners always came in and introduced themselves and told you a little bit about the wine that you were drinking and a little bit about the dinner that you were having. And of course we had our guide as well. So, and it was very familial, and you could, you know, just, we were having conversations about where we've been and what we've been doing and other parts of Italy, and at the same time we're getting some history of the area. And they explained how Milan had been built with canals, and they didn't have them. They wanted to create a path to the sea, and they didn't have them, so they actually had to dredge them out in order to do so, from to take water from like Lake Como and Lake Maggiore down to the Mediterranean Sea.
Because the canals are still there.
They're just underground.
Okay. Yeah, because it's really landlocked. I mean, it's like in the middle.
It is. Yes. Wow. And, you know, back in the 1500s, you needed waterways. Otherwise, you weren't going to get any supplies.
Right.
And then from there, we finally stopped at this cannoli place, and they were the best cannolis I've ever had.
Did you have wine with them too?
No, because they didn't have wine at the cannoli place. It was just a cannoli place.
So when they did have the wine, did you have a choice of white or red, or were you just given?
Oh, yes. I always chose red because I'm a red fan. Yeah. But yes, you could have white if you wanted.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm more of a white wine person. So.
Well, you know what? We'll have to do this next time we go to Milan.
I know, right? Then we can try each other's wine too.
Yes, and I'll take you to this cannoli place because, like I said, best cannolis I've ever had. And this is the thing, they gave us two of them, and we got to pick which flavors we wanted. So I had it was raspberries and white chocolate, and then the second one was Nutella.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking something with chocolate chips.
they had that too.
Chocolate chips, too. Okay, so. Nice.
But it wasn't, I mean, cannolis usually for me are very, they're kind of Z. These were definitely not that. They were like Cheesecake Factory cheesecake.
Oh.
Where there's like not a lot of cheese in it, so... Because maybe they were made with mascarpone, I don't know, instead of ricotta. So, But they were super yummy, and I will definitely take you there if we go back to Milan together.
I mean, I do need to go to Italy some more. So,
oh darn. I'll have to go back to Italy. So that was the end of the night. We finally, I decided to take an Uber back instead of trying to find my way in the dark.
Nice.
And then the next day I got up, and actually I had hired a private guide. Cool. And this is definitely the way to see Milan, because you get to kind of pick your own way and do everything. And I told the guide, I says, well, I've already been into the Duomo, so we can kind of skip that. Mm-hmm. She's like, but did you go on the roof? I'm like, no. So there is actually a separate tour or a separate ticket that you can get. And actually, they call it the terraces. And you can actually take an elevator to the top of the Duomo and walk on the roof. And there's a whole tour. Basically, you walk around the whole thing and you get some of the greatest views of the city from that vantage point. And of course, you can also see all of the gargoyles and the statuary and all those intricate carvings that you can't see from the ground.
So you did go up and do the
roof. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. When she said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that.
Okay. Nice. Yep.
And you end up actually inside the Duomo from there. And we did walk around a little bit. She pointed out some things that I had not noticed. Mm-hmm. And some important points and everything about the actual Duomo.
That's
itself.
Why it's such a good idea to get a tour. You know, it just, you get so much more out of it.
Very much so. Very much so. And then we walked over, like I said, to the Galleria, the same shopping center, but she explained how it was built, when it was built. And this was one of the things I didn't even notice because, you know, I didn't have a guide, didn't have any clue what I was doing. There is it's a mosaic floor throughout the Galleria, and there are different crests for different cities that are in that area of Italy. Of course, there's the one for Milan, and there's the one for Turin and a couple other cities. The thing is this is very important. So the symbol for Turin, which was competing to be the seat of power for that region of Italy, they have their symbol is the bull. Okay. And so the story goes is basically you go over there and you actually stick your heel and you kind of, you know, really wedge your foot down on the bull's testicles.
Okay.
Because you want to stick it to Turin. And the funny thing is that there's a huge divot in the floor where people do this. And it was probably 3 inches deep. And they go in and they fill it every 2 years or whatever. And it just, because people are sitting there grinding it away. So, and it's supposed to bring you good luck. So, you know, everybody does it. So.
Cool.
And then we walked through and we walked past La Scala. Now, if I get back to Milan, I definitely want to do, there is a tour that you can take and actually goes through La Scala and you can actually go do a behind the scenes tour of the theater.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
And that's one of those things that you can add on. Of course, I didn't have that kind of time. I only had 2 days. And then we walked through Brera, which Brera is kind of, it was a art center, community, and so a lot of artists and sculptors and things like that lived in their area, so it's a very little eclectic area, and they had a museum in there that was an old schoolhouse from like the 1700s, 1800s, that Napoleon had kind of converted it from a school into an art gallery, and so you can find a lot of statuary and art and paintings and things like that, and you can wander through there.
Cool.
And then we ended at Castello Sforzico. That was the head of the Sforza family lived in this fortress. Now, you have to understand is that most of the Medici family and the Colonna family and things like that and the Este family all lived in these very, very elaborate palaces throughout Italy. Mm-hmm. Sforza was always at war. And so Ludovico Sforza built a fortress instead of a palazzo. And so this huge 14th century fortress is still in existence. And that is actually where Leonardo da Vinci had his workshop when he was building all of his warcraft for Sforza.
Oh.
And you can see some of his drawings and some of his designs and things. There's a museum in there that you can wander through. And on the back side of it is one of the biggest parks in Milan. And they had a carnival festival going on out there. But I saw people out there, you know, with their bikes, and they were sitting there walking their dogs. This was definitely a place where the locals would go to just kind of have a picnic or hang out, especially because the weather turned out so beautiful the next day.
Nice.
But yeah, it's a very interesting city, and the fortress is actually Mussolini used that as some of the backdrops for some of his propaganda work.
Ooh, okay.
In Milan.
Nice. So lots of cool history there.
Lots of history that you can... So you get that really... You get the great food. You can get a lot of history. You can get a lot of art. You can definitely buy fashion and, you know, redo your wardrobe if that's what you want to do. So this city has a lot to offer, and I would highly recommend it.
Nice. All right. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you got to spend a couple days there. And that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, George, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.